This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to be back chatting Packers with you right here on the Packaday Radio Show. My name is Andy Herman. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Jim Mazarski is going to be joining the show today. It's going to be a great one, as always, as Mitch brings the thunder every single day on the Mason Crosby Show. He's, again, going to be flying solo today, but again, that interview with Jim Mazarski is going to be epic, and make sure not to miss it. Also, we got Mark Oldacres right now, Cheesehead TV, Packers Wire. You can find him on social media at Mark Oldacres. Mark, it is wonderful to be chatting with you. How are you doing on this wonderful Friday?
I'm good. Good to be chatting with you. Thanks for having me on. We've got some real football, kind of remotely close to real football, to talk about. So that's always a good thing.
It very much is. It was well overdue, and I was excited just to get out there and have some actual tangible football stuff to kind of break down and talk about. So as you were kind of following from afar, Mark, what were your kind of key takeaways from OTAs this week?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a few things that I picked up was just kind of like the I think my main takeaways were just that kind of things just are always going to stay the same with how the Packers do things, in terms of, like, right away you see the kind of the offensive line and the defensive backfield in particular, just kind of how the rotations there are just going to be constant, especially at this time of the year and into training camp and very possibly into the regular season as well. I think it's just kind of funny because we have this period of time where we have so long to just kind of speculate with nothing really happening about kind of what role this player is going to fill and what role this player is going to fill. And in our minds, we kind of want it to fit into this perfect puzzle. And then they get out there second day of OTAs or whatever it is, and who knows what they were doing on the other days that the media wasn't privy to, but you've got guys moving all over the place. It's like, well, of course, that's what the Packers are going to do. It's just figure it out. Throw the talent in the room and figure out who fits where.
Yeah, and I think I kind of love that about the Packers. They obviously have great patience with that stuff, and they're going to give a lot of people opportunities to compete and see who rises up and takes some of those positions. And hopefully we just get some really good players taking those spots, regardless of who it is, what jersey number they're wearing, what draft pick they were. That's what you want to see, is just the competition and players taking that spot and making it theirs. And I think the offensive line, safety, some other ones are going to be really fun to kind of keep an eye on. Well, we're going to get back to some of those competitions in just a moment, but I do really want to pick your brain on this kind of Jordan Love conversation. He was asked about it, some of his passing stats maybe not being quite the same. Matt LaFleur was asked about it as well in his press conference, and maybe having a down year two as a starter compared to his first season. What are your thoughts on how Jordan Love played this past year? And then as a kind of follow-up to that, what are your expectations for Jordan in year three?
Well, firstly, I thought it was really interesting listening to that conversation where the media spoke to Jordan. And I thought for Jordan, who is like about as polite of a guy, yeah, I think he's very reserved kind of in terms of his personality in front of the media. I thought he kind of pushed back about as much as we'll see Jordan Love push back when he was kind of, you know, asked. It was almost given to him as like matter of factly that you didn't play that as well last year. And I think he kind of bristled with that and essentially said, well, you know, we won more games last year. And I think there's probably an element of pride in how he kind of fought through the things that he fought through last year. And I actually just kind of took a bit of a look into this just on the stats side of things in terms of Jordan. What do we kind of know about him, you know, through 2 years? And obviously the injuries really just kind of cloud the assessment for everybody for last season. And is it too easy to make excuses about certain areas where he did regress, you know, statistically, to just say, well, you know, the injuries, but they, I mean, we're talking literally from week one onwards. He was injured in some way, shape or form basically the entire season. So a lot of that has to be taken into account. There was some stuff that regressed last year. I think kind of the, even just like the baseline stats, like the big time throw rate was way down, and the turnover worthy play rate was up, which is obviously not the two directions you want to see those things going. But what was pleasing for me looking into it more is that I think one of the knocks on Jordan is that because he has all this arm talent, he doesn't have to play with the soundest fundamentals in his lower half. And that obviously allows him to make some unbelievable throws from ridiculous, you know, arm angles and all these things. But especially in his first year as a starter, he just missed way too many gimmies. The throws that you just have to make routine, and you just need to have your feet planted in the ground, how the coaches have taught you to do it, and just throw it. And even if the pass was technically accurate, a lot of times on screens and just short passes, he wasn't giving the receiver, kind of putting the ball in the optimal place to be able to then do something with it after the catch. And I think last year you saw his numbers kind of in terms of his accuracy on just like screen passes, short passes, just kind of the stuff, his adjusted completion percentage actually went up last year despite his overall completion percentage going down, because obviously we know he dealt with so many drops from his receivers. So I just think those things kind of trying to project into 2025, we're hoping that we're going to kind of see not only the jump we expected to see last year, but kind of more than that, because obviously we're into the third year now. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how high he can take this. And I think this year is going to kind of, I think you've talked about this as well, this is going to kind of set the expectations for what Jordan Love is. And then it's probably not going to deviate too far from that in other years outside of this one.
Yeah, barring injury, I think what we see from Jordan this year is the baseline. I think that is what we're going to see moving forward. I think this is year six, his third year as a starter. There could be variances here and there where, you know, you have an up season or a down season slightly based off of this. But I think this is the tone setter for what kind of the remainder of his career is probably going to look like. Again, assuming no injuries this year, knock on wood, hopefully that's the case. I go back to last year, too, with the injuries. It's not just the injuries on the field where he's got to maybe limp through some stuff or doesn't have the same mobility. It's also the entire mispractice time that he had last year, because he had all of those injuries as well, which you could tell when you talk about maybe some of the receivers and Jordan not being in rhythm and stuff like that. Well, not only did he miss all that time in practice due to injuries, but also missed time at practice at the beginning when you're putting in the installs and everything at training camp because of the contract situation. And you just ended up in a season where it was really, tough for him and the receivers to kind of get on the same page, for the offense to get in that rhythm because of all the time he missed in practice, not due to any fault of his own, just because of circumstances with the contract and circumstances later, of course, more importantly, with the injuries. And then you add on top of that, trying to play through the injuries. I think one of the frustrating things, as you mentioned, some of that deep ball accuracy, was that in preseason and in camp, it was really noticeable how much time, effort, and energy he put into it. He was throwing a beautiful deep ball. You remember in preseason, he had the one throw, and it was the deep ball down the field, just gorgeous one. I think it was to Wicks, if I remember correctly. Correct me if you remember differently, but it was just a gorgeous throw down the field, and that's what we saw all throughout training camp. And then you could just tell, you know, when he didn't have that, or when he had all the injuries and not having the practice time, you just tell he didn't have, again, have that rhythm with the wide receivers. And then the last thing I'll say, Mark, and again, I want to get your thoughts on all this as well, but when we talk about those fundamentals for Jordan, it's great that he has the great arm talent, and it's great that he has that superpower to go to. But what I would like to see from him specifically this year is, hey, on the simple stuff, when you aren't pressured, when you have a clean pocket, play with those fundamentals. Let that be your default rather than, you know, sort of having to throw off your back foot or weird arm angles. I go back to the kind of Superman scenario of like, hey, if there are aliens invading, it's okay to use your laser vision and all of the superpowers that you have at your disposal, and there might be some chaos. When you're just trying to save a cat out of a tree, there should not be chaos and laser vision. It should just be pretty simple to get that cat down. And in the easy scenarios, I just want to see him do the easy stuff and take kind of what's there for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think there was some progression in that last year, which is good to see even while he was dealing with the kind of stuff he was dealing with. I think it just at least shows a discipline and kind of an intentionality of like, this is something that I know I need to work on. And he did improve on it. It's still, he's never going to be, I don't think, the type of quarterback that's going to lead the league in completion percentage. It's just not how he rolls. But like you say, you kind of expect when the bullets really start flying for some of the fundamentals and the footwork that you're being sort of coached and coached to kind of go out the window a bit, and you just go kind of vibes mode, which he's great at. But like you say, when it's just kind of there for you, paint by numbers, you're not under pressure, you want to see just that consistency of you can just plant your feet in the ground, you can have the footwork you need to have, the mechanics you need to have, and you don't need to be bouncing around, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's definitely something he's going to have to continue to work on. And it is tough, you know, it's tough for quarterbacks to just kind of like rework that and actually stay with it. Like you say, when the bullets are flying, once the game begins, it's all well and good having this intention to do it, and then suddenly it's a real game and it's hard to stick with it. But yeah, I think at least we saw some progress in that regard, and hopefully this year it will go up even a much bigger step.
Yeah, I totally get it. The Packaday Radio Show is all about vibes mode. That's all we are here, just kind of going by the seat of our pants every single day. So I totally understand it and respect it. We're being joined by Mark Oldacres, Cheesehead TV and Packers Wire. You can find him on social media at Mark Oldacres. I know you were also kind of recently talking, Mark, about this potential battle between Javon Bullard and Evan Williams at the safety position. I think Javon Bullard's in a really interesting spot. Do they use him in the slot? Do they use him at safety? Does he get involved in that competition? How do you see this going, and how do you feel about Javon Bullard going into year two?
Yeah, so I recently wrote something on this because I just feel like it's kind of, again, just one of those off-season topics that I feel like has just gone a little bit too far off the rails with the kind of the Bullard-Williams situation. I'm just kind of looking into it. I mean, I just use like PFF grades, which, you know, take those for what they're worth. Some people like them, some people don't. But in the second half of the year, Bullard, after the bye week, played better than Williams played. And, you know, granted, they technically at that point were playing two different positions. So that is obviously part of it. But I think people forget that Javon Bullard, he did not have kind of the rookie year that Evan Williams had. And he didn't have maybe the flashy moments. And there were some lows in there, definitely. But he played the third most defensive snaps on the team last year. You know, so that's a huge amount of trust that they placed in him from week one. Week one, when Evan Williams was a healthy scratch, you know, Javon Bullard was out there in Brazil playing safety, you know, before Williams even got a crack at safety. And then obviously Bullard moved into the slot. Obviously they had some issues with Alexander and availability issues in general in the defensive backfield. And Williams really took his opportunity at safety. But I just think Bullard hasn't got the credit that he's deserved for how difficult of a role that he had to play as a rookie to be bouncing between safety and the slot. Pretty much every 2 to 3 weeks, he was like, okay, now you're playing this one again for a couple of weeks. Williams didn't have to do that. He just played safety, and he did it well. I think the level of how good his rookie year was, Williams, the legend of that has kind of grown a little bit, I think, since the season ended. I think he had like a few really good games, and then a lot of it was just fine, which is really good for a rookie. But I just think this kind of notion that like, Williams has the spot opposite McKinney and essentially the competition is over there, and that what the hell is Bullard going to do? Like, where is he going to play? I just think it's become a bit overblown. I think even if there's not an obvious place where Bullard's going to start right now, even if that is the case and he doesn't win the starting job over Williams, everyone in this defensive backfield is going to play. They're all going to play like hundreds of snaps. Probably at different positions, and it's going to depend on the opponent. Injuries are going to happen, which is going to make a lot of it kind of moot anyway. So I just think it's kind of veered a little bit too much towards a certainty that Williams is this and Bullard is this, and that's just kind of how I see it.
I'm a big fan of Javon Bullard, and I think he, again, does not get the credit that he played with. And just looking at it after you said it, I went back and looked at my grades, and from week 9 on, I had a plus 0.2 grade on Javon Bullard, a negative 0.8 grade on Evan Williams. So it wasn't just PFF. I had a better grade on Bullard through from week 9 through the end of the season than I did on Williams as well. It was kind of a little bit under discussed of how actually Williams did have a little bit of a fall off towards the end of last year. I'm still very, very high on Evan Williams, and I do think he ends up being probably the primary starter at safety, but it definitely was a lot closer towards the end of the year, and I do think Bullard doesn't quite get the recognition that he deserves, and he wants it really bad too, which you can tell. He's very hungry to be a great player in this league, so I'm I'm excited for him in year two. Before we get out of here, one of the really interesting positions is we're talking to Mark Oldacres, Cheesehead TV and Packers Wire. You can find him on social media at Mark Oldacres, is this wide receiver position. As you start looking at the potential rotation and Christian Watson coming back at some point, how do you see this rotation sort of figuring itself out? And who do you expect to kind of be at the top of that rotation?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think it's really tough to say. I think as kind of fans, where you're looking at maybe like what you would like to happen in terms of like what's the highest upside case for every player and how that could impact the team. And in like an ideal world, if you could have your starting three on the field as Golden, he is that guy. You know, like he has that rookie year, like a lot of guys come into the league now and kind of hype. Can kind of hit the ground running. If you can have him, you can have Dontayvion Wicks on the other side, which is just tantalizing. You know, it sounds like he had a good practice the other day. And then Jaden Reed kind of in the slot. That to me is kind of like, if all those players hit, that's the best three that they can get out there. Obviously, with Watson's injury, we're not expecting him to be part of it for a while. What will probably happen is, at least in the first half of the year, we'll still be probably getting way more Romeo Doubs than people want. Which is not even to like denigrate Romeo Doubs. He's a good player, but he's just not the kind of flashy player that people want to see. So I think early in the year, we're probably going to be talking about the guys who have been there and done it. That's just kind of how these things usually go. But I do expect Golden in particular. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of Savion Williams after watching him after they drafted him. I wasn't so sure about it at the time, but after watching, I mean, just the kind of players this guy can make, like, the ceiling for him is unbelievably high, but the chances he hits it and that he can start to hit it as a rookie with kind of some of the rawness that he has is kind of a different conversation. I think he'll get snaps every game as like kind of some of these gadget type touches, because that's kind of his flaw, is to be able to do that sort of stuff. And then I think you try and bring him along as a true receiver. But honestly, sitting here right now, I couldn't pick which receiver on this team is going to have the most yards or catches again this year. I couldn't do it.
My advice? I never give fantasy advice, Mark. It's just not my thing. If I ever give fantasy advice, my advice would usually be to do the opposite. My one piece of advice that I've given over the last couple of years that I will give again this year that I feel confident in, don't draft Packers wide receivers. It's not worth it. You don't know, well, who's going to, yeah. You could have a week where Jaden Reed has 200 yards receiving and then he might go 4 weeks where he's got like 60 yards total. It's going to be way too volatile on a week-to-week basis and almost on like a season-to-season basis right now. So my advice to the fantasy players out there, Josh Jacobs, go for it. Probably Tucker Kraft, probably still valuable at tight end. Wide receiver, let somebody else take the Packers wide receivers and go in a different direction, because like you said, it is almost impossible to predict how this is going to go throughout the course of the season. Mark, I cannot thank you enough. What do you got coming up over at Cheesehead TV and Packers Wire?
I'm just formulating some stuff right now. I'm thinking, after kind of going through Jordan Love's, kind of looking at his stats, I think I'm going to kind of do a similar theme with a lot of the other players on the team and just kind of see, after a couple years, maybe some of the younger players, where are we at? Where are they? Where do they excel? Where don't they? I feel like it's kind of helpful to delve into those, like the real kind of granular, like these are what their defined strengths are and this is where they need to improve. So I'm thinking of maybe doing a little run of stuff like that. So keep an eye out for that on Pack as well.
I'll certainly be looking forward to it. Great stuff on the Jordan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Of article, make sure to check that out. You can find him on social media at Mark Oldacres. Mark, thanks so much a ton, and we'll talk again soon. All right.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise. That again is Mark Oldacres. Find him over on social media at Mark Oldacres. We've got a lot more show coming up, so don't go anywhere. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show presented by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.